Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, Brian McFadden. Former Brave, former Falcon, Brian Jordan. He'll join us coming up in a few minutes. I'm going to finish up our conversation. We started off talking college football hot seats, and then it turned into an Auburn conversation. I was telling you that, Bryant, that Gus Malzahn's buyout at the end of last season was $32 million. Thank you, Jimmy Sexton.
Wow.
It will go down after the 2019 season. How much it goes down, I don't know. But it was at the end of last year, it was like at $32 million.
Wow. And you asked me, is or should his seat be hot? I say yes. And here's why I say yes. The inability to develop a quarterback has been proven that he can't get it done. I mean, prime example, Stidham. Before Stidham transferred to Auburn, he was looking like a pretty good college quarterback, a guy that can put up numbers, a guy you can win with. Outside of the inability to establish, develop a quarterback, he's been so average at best. Not just in totality as far as record, but what about in the SEC? Because we know what he did in 2013, made it to a championship ball game. I mean, an unbelievable play allowed them to get to that level to eventually lose to Florida State. They were 12-2 that season. And then, of course, the only double-digit winning season he's had was 2017 when they were 10-4. But outside of that, Chris, one thing I want people to really focus in on is SEC play, his conference record. In 2013, they were 7-1. In 2017, they were 7-1 also. Outside of those 2 years, 2013, 2017, you know what Gus Malzahn's SEC.
I get the feeling you're about to tell me.
14-18. Ooh. Last year, they were 10-3. 2015, 2-6. 2014, 4-4. Okay, losing to Alabama, we understand. That's one thing. Alabama is one of the best in the country. But you cannot be 14-18 in SEC play. Can't.
We'll come back to it. We'll talk a little more college football coming up before the end of the hour. Right now, let's head on to the WadeFord.com hotline. Here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, welcome into the Kia Studios. Brian Jordan, former Brave, former Falcon, spending some time with us. And Brian, look, I know it's May. I know there's a lot of baseball left. How concerned should we be as Braves fans? Can you talk me off the ledge after this four-game losing streak?
You know, I'm going to talk you off the ledge. I mean, look, honestly, they just met with the Dodgers, who are a much better team right now. There's no question in my mind. Those veterans got hot. Turner, they just jumped on his back. Three home runs, one game, another one. So I give them that three. Those three games. Last night was just a well-pitched game, just a grinded-out game with Arizona. I mean, Arizona's not playing bad baseball. Yes, I'm a little disappointed. I thought they would at least try to win one game, salvage the series against the Dodgers, and get off to a good start in Arizona, but that's not the case. I mean, we're still trying to figure it out, man. The pitchers, to me, are getting better. I knew Max Fried was going to have trouble going back home to California. He was going to try a little too hard and, you know, just didn't look like the Max Fried, consistent Max Fried that we're used to. You know, I'm a little concerned about Fulton Nevich. To me, I think he's falling back into some old habits. I didn't like the way he was falling off the mound so much against the Dodgers. So there are some concerns. You know, there's no question about it. The offense is not clicking yet. We're getting spurts from different guys. We're still waiting for everybody to just, you know, timing is everything. We hope that the bats will come around very quickly in Arizona. But, I mean, we're playing some really good teams right now. We're catching, you know, Miami. We did what we were supposed to do. You go down in Miami, you sweep them, win three games, and you got tough L.A. Dodgers in Arizona. But of course, you know, 4-game losing streak. They gotta come off the snide tonight.
BJ, you mentioned you know, about timing. Timing is everything, and also too, you stated you're still trying to figure things out. At what point throughout the season, and there's still a lot of baseball left, do you go from trying to figure things out to understanding and knowing what you have, and this is it, and we just got to try to make it work?
Well, right now we got to try to make it work. I think the front office is evaluating different options. You know, a couple options for me is, you know, Camargo is a guy that you got to figure out how can we get him on the field and play and let him be consistent. Enciarte is struggling. You know, we're still waiting to see when is he going to bounce back, or is it time to, you know, trade Enciarte? You know, you got Austin Riley down in AAA. It's just unbelievably hot. 13 home runs in the last 13 games. So, I mean, you got to figure out what you're going to do with Austin Riley. They put him out in the outfield down in Stripers this past week. So, you know, I'm starting to see some signs on the wall that they're about ready to make some moves. Pitching-wise, I felt like we've been pitching very well. The bullpen has been decent. The starters have been good outside of Freed and Fulton Everett struggling out in L.A. But you got to expect that from young guys. I know it was a learning experience for Freed, and hopefully he'll bounce back. He's healthy through his side, so we'll see him on his next start. You know, will he be back to the Freed that we know? So, but we still got options, man. Again, guys down the AAA are playing really good. So I expect some moves to be made probably in the next couple of weeks. Because myself, like you guys, are tired of seeing the same old thing. You know, we're ready for some movement.
Talking Braves baseball with Brian Jordan here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Brian, you touched on a whole bunch of things that I want to circle back around to. Let's start with Johan Camargo. He struggled a little bit of the plate. How much of that do you attribute to him having to learn different positions now?
Well, I don't think the struggles hitting is learning different positions. I just think being in the game consistently, getting consistent at bats. You know, this is a young kid that proved himself last year. So I know it's kind of frustrating for him to be sitting 3 games and then playing 2 games and sitting another 4 games. It's tough for a young guy to mentally handle that. And I think right now he's going to the mental part, because every time he comes up to the plate, he thinks he has to perform. He has to get a hit. And when you put that much pressure on yourself and you're young, you're going to struggle. And I think that battle he's going through right now, that's why it's tough to sit a young guy this early in his career after having a lot of success. And I really hope that they find a way to, you know, get Camargo on the field every day, make a decision. Or you know, he could be – I know a lot of teams around the league would love to have a Camargo on their team. Mm. So, you know, Alex is going to have to make some tough decisions. And, you know, if this team wants to figure out who's going to play every day and who's going to be consistent.
Talking about some of the young guys struggling, where's the confidence level with some of these young players that are struggling right now? Talking about Camargo, and clearly some of the arms are struggling on the mound. But confidence-wise, where is it?
Brian, it's hard. I mean, I was that young player that I looked over my shoulder every day that, you know, if I don't perform well, I'm going to be out. You know, not to the point of like a Camargo, those guys. You know, once I started, I started. But those guys, you know, the young pitchers, young guy like Camargo, you know, when you're not playing consistent, you know, you put added pressure on yourself, and it's hard to have that confidence when you're not in the lineup every day. And, you know, a young guy like Tuki Toussaint, you know, I have to perform well or they're going to send me back to AAA. It's hard for a young player to have to go through that every time they get shuttled back to the big leagues, back to AAA. And that's a concern of mine. You know, when you have so many young players and you have to, you know, coming into the season, you have to evaluate these guys. You know, my fear is you can mess them up for a long time. And hope that's not the case. But I'm looking at a young guy like Camargo who, you know, feels like he deserves to play every day, you know, going through that.
Brian Jordan with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Brian, maybe the one bright spot certainly here of late has been the performance of Mike Soroka. How high is the ceiling for this guy?
Oh, my goodness. He just needs to stay healthy. If he stays healthy, I mean, this kid is above the curve right now. I mean, he's smart. He has a game plan when he goes into the game. He's pitching like a 10-year veteran already. And you don't see that in young players. To me, he's very special. And he's been the model of consistency. Even when he gets in trouble, a couple of guys get on base, he does not panic. He just makes a good pitch to get out of it. Last night, one out, man on first and second. In the later innings, he gets a ground ball, double play, he's out of inning. You expect that from him now. I mean, his expectations are gone way up. When you're only scoring one run against him every time he gets out there. So I like what I see out of him. I think the ceiling is very high for this kid. He's a superstar in the making.
BJ, what are you expecting to see tonight? You got Diamondbacks once again. They're bringing Greinke up. Julio will be up for the Braves. What are you expecting to see tonight?
Well, Julio, to me, has been pitching great. He's had a couple of bad innings. But he's really been giving the Braves a chance to win ball games, and I expect the same thing tonight. He pitches very well on the road. He's attacking the strike zone. He's throwing with more velocity this year. So I expect him to go out there and compete and give the Braves a chance. Greinke is one of the top competitors in the game. He hasn't been as great as he's been in the past. I think offensively we can get to him. But, the offense has been inconsistent right now, so they have to find a way to salvage this road trip. And it's been tough on these guys the last 4 days. Give credit where credit is due. It's been some good pitching. But at some point, this offense has to get back on track, what we're used to seeing, 6 runs, 7 runs a game.
Brian Jordan, former Brave, former Falcon, with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Brian, as we finish up, in your opinion, is the answer to the bullpen already in the organization?
I think everybody, would love to get a consistent closer. A veteran that's been there, done it. I don't think that's going to happen this year for the Braves. So right now, you got to rely on A.J. Minter and Luke Jackson. Brian Snick has done a great job in trying to work those guys in to those situations, not putting – more pressure on either one of those guys. The middle bullpen has been really good. Tomlin has been huge for the Braves, stepping in for Freed and giving 4 innings, 5 innings the other day was fantastic. We just brought up Kyle Wright, another young guy that we have confidence in as far as the bullpen. So I think the answer is going to be with what we have, young guys and the mix of the veterans that they brought in.
Brian Jordan, former Brave, former Falcon, talking a little Braves baseball. Brian, always great to visit. Take care, man. Hopefully we'll get a chance to catch up again soon.
All right, guys. Take care.
Brian Jordan with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We talk a little Braves baseball. A few thoughts on some of the things that Brian Jordan said. We'll get back to that in just a second. First, though, it's time for another code word for the $1,000 National Signing Bonus Contest.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
belong. The code word for this hour is belong. B-E-L-O-N-G. You have until 1:59 Eastern Time to text belong, B-E-L-O-N-G, to 72881 from your cell phone, 72881. That's the number you texted to. The word is belong, B-E-L-O-N-G. Message and data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. You pull that car over before you even think about playing in this contest. And if you want to get a list of the rules, head over to 929thegame.com/rules. And that is a chance for you to win $1,000 in the National Signing Bonus Contest. Interesting words from Brian Jordan about the bullpen. He does not sound like a guy that's very optimistic that the Braves would be willing to make a move to bring Craig Kimbrell back.
Yeah, and if you're listening to that, and if you're a Braves fan and you asked the question, is the answer to the bullpen already in the organization? He was like, yeah, pretty much. I don't see them making a move. So what we see right now is what we will see going forward. But we need to hope that eventually some of these inconsistent closers hit that consistent stride. Because if they don't, they won't make the playoffs.
Hey, look, we've talked about it before, about the fact that with young pitchers in the big leagues, there is a certain there's a stretch, and they all go through it no matter how good. Look, at some point in time, for as good as he has been, Mike Soroka is going to hit a stretch where he will struggle as a young pitcher in the big leagues. It happens to all of them. It happens to Maddox. It happened to Smoltz. It happened to Tom Glavin. It happens. But you got to be able to get through it, and you've got to identify the guys that you think can be a part of it and that you want to have long-term, and then you just got to live with some of the ups and the downs that go along with a young pitching staff because you got that promise of tomorrow. And that's what I've said all along about these guys in terms of the pitching staff. Look, I think we know what we have as far as 1 through 8 in the field. That pitcher is something we got to figure out. And the only way you do that, I think, is by running those guys out there every fifth day and letting them take their lumps.
But the thing is, when you talk about young guys taking their lumps, I don't know where some of these young pitchers are when it comes to their mental toughness. But you do not want to stunt their growth or hurt their confidence because they might not be able to get over that hurdle when you're getting hit on both sides of your face. Because every time the Braves step on the field right now, it's a big deal based on what they did a year ago. So you can't.
There's expectations now where there was none before.
Yes. Now people are hunting you because you dominated a year ago and won your division. So you stand a chance, put these young players out here, young pitchers, and they get lumped on both sides of their head and never get over that. And now you're stunting their growth.
We'll get back to some college football talk, talking coaches on the hot seat going into the 2019 season. We'll come back with that next. Chris Goforth, Bryant McFadden, glad to be hanging out with you. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Check it out.
The home for Atlanta sports on the weekend.
The whole weekend. Radio on the weekend.
The weekend.
Atlanta sports doesn't stop for the weekend, and neither do we. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, Bryant McFadden. Keep you company for about another 40 minutes, give or take. Make way for Rob Tribble, Randy McMichael. They're coming your way next. As Dukes and Bell and Andy Bunker and all the other folks are off at a retreat this week, so we get a chance to come in and hang out for a couple hours. Got two Game 7s Sunday in the NBA. We'll get to those coming up here a little later on this hour. I wanted to circle back around, Bryant, talking about college football coaches on the hot seat. Texter from the 404. Look, we talked a lot about Gus Malzahn. Let's touch on some other guys now. Texter, though, on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929 says, it's fair to put the Hokies coach on the hot seat. Virginia Tech football expectations, and they're not. Virginia Tech football has expectations, and they're not living up to it. They haven't beaten Georgia Tech under their current coach. And Justin Fuente at Virginia Tech, you're an ACC guy. You know that is a program that has been built for years off of defense and special teams.
Yeah.
And they couldn't tackle anybody last year.
And I think what we saw, you know, from Fuente and his staff was a step in the wrong direction in 2018 compared to what he did 2017. Also, too, we have to understand and really take into consideration the injuries that hit the Hokie ball club in 2018. Not to mention the off-the-field issues, players getting suspended. So you went from going into 2018 with a lot of high expectations to really getting some humble pie. And then when you lose to what? Old Dominion. I don't care who you have in the lineup. You can't lose to Old Dominion. Just losing to Old Dominion alone should put Fuente on the hot seat. But I think they're going to give him some time because what we saw last year was so many injuries, the key players, so many issues away from the football field with the key players really played a part in the inability to be successful, not to mention, you know, having seven losses.
You played at Florida State. Willie Taggart is there. He goes 5-7 in year one. Going into year two, I don't know how you feel. I'm not all that optimistic about your Seminoles. They got one scholarship quarterback right now.
One scholarship quarterback, but we have a transfer in Alex Hornibrook from Wisconsin. He will be the backup. I think what we saw from Willie Taggart was it was a disappointing year. And it was disappointing.
Is he in over his head?
Last year he seemed to be.
Okay.
And I say that because the team never looked prepared. Never looked prepared. If you don't look prepared week one, that's one thing, you know, with a new staff, new identity. But if you don't look prepared in the last ball game of the season against Florida, that's an issue. You didn't develop. You didn't grow. You didn't change the direction of your program as far as being prepared, understanding what you're supposed to do. When you're in the last ball game of the season and you're still lining up with nine players on the football field, I mean, that's lack of preparation. And I think that falls on the coaching staff. So hopefully he understands this is not South Florida, it's not Western Kentucky, it's not Oregon, it's Florida State. Everything you will do will be in a fishbowl type of atmosphere as far as everybody can always look to see what you're doing. And so far, the momentum is in his favor because they've done a real good job on the recruiting road, you know, as far as getting commitments for 2020. Now you understand who the quarterback will be in James Blackman. Got a new OC in Kendall Browse. Hopefully he can bring a little bit of flair to that offense. Most importantly, you just got to be prepared and disciplined. I think those were big issues as far as concerns from a year ago, not being prepared and disciplined.
Is there a win number he needs to hit to stay at Florida State?
First of all, I mean, we didn't go to a bowl. I mean, we had the longest bowl streak in college football. Not going
but
to a bowl.
But 6-6 in a bowl win, or 6-6 in a bowl game is not going to cut it.
Realistically, he needs to finish – at best, he needs to finish. I would love for them to finish number one, but barring the unthinkable happening with Clemson, I don't see Clemson slowing down anytime soon in the Atlantic.
Right. Right.
So if Florida State can finish number two in the Atlantic, I'm okay with that right now. We're some years away from being in that national conversation. I'm just keeping it real. I'm a Florida State guy. But if we can finish at best in the Atlantic division, number two behind Clemson. Of course, I would love to be number one, but I'm keeping it real. Number two, I'm okay with that.
Coach Frank in Forsyth County, he texted in on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929. He says, Harbaugh back to the NFL after another loss to Ohio State.
Mm. I mean, Harbaugh, you talk about job security. We talked about Miles Zahn and his buyout.
Yeah, if Harbaugh leaves, it won't be because he's fired.
No.
I think Harbaugh will leave because he wants to go. Yeah, he wants to seek out another opportunity in the NFL. You do have to wonder, though, he is a guy that, for as much as he was beloved when he first got there, you talk to people around that program and you start to hear some things now about – you know, especially for the guys that cover them on a daily basis, they'll tell you about, yeah, there's a couple people in that athletic department. They're not real. He has a way of grading on people because of just who he is, just his personality. I'm not sure that he's the easiest guy to work with or for.
And also, too, he hasn't lived up to the billing. I mean, yet to beat Ohio State. I mean, Michigan State has had their way against you for the most part. And Pat Fitzgerald, the head coach from Northwestern, has competed for a championship before Harbaugh.
Wow. Think about that.
Yes. In the Big Ten, Pat Fitzgerald has competed for a championship before Harbaugh.
Couple of guys that I think are definitely on the hot seat. And number one has got to be Clay Helton at Southern Cal.
Mm-hmm.
There's a part of me that's surprised he's back.
Yeah. Honestly, it's like if you're USC, you don't want to be firing coaches, it seems to be every 4 or 5 years. That's not the structure of that prestigious university. But I can tell you this much, they went 5-7 a year ago, didn't go to a bowl. First time was since 2000, I think it was. That's unacceptable. And for me, for him to save his job in a Pac-12 that's wide open outside of the likes of Washington and Stanford, they better compete.
You're USC.
You got to win at least eight ball games, Clay Helton. For you to keep your job, you got to win at least eight ball games.
You're USC. I mean, they should, again, and as you pointed out, the Pac-12.
Wide open.
Yeah. I mean, and it's a down league right now. This should be the opportunity for Southern Cal to be able to flex a muscle a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Ash at Rutgers, another guy. The buyout is $8 million after this year. I don't know if there is enough support at Rutgers to get him out of there, but they lost in the Big Ten last year by an average of 19 points per game. Mm-hmm. They went winless in Big Ten play.
Winless. It was an embarrassment to the university. And you do not want to be that team that every opposing player wants to play because it's a stat game. And they became that in 2018, unfortunately.
Randy Edsall at UConn, the return for him has not worked out. You talk about embarrassing. They allowed 50 points per game last year and 9 yards a play.
Mm. A first down every time there was a snap against their defense, basically. Wow.
And one guy that, you know, again, I think if you read the national pundits, they tell you the seat's getting warm for him. I love the guy is Lovie Smith.
Yeah, Lovie.
At Illinois. I want to see that work. He's going to take over calling the defense there. I think he's made them better. I think the question at Illinois is they're going to be so very young. I just don't know how good they're going to be because he's going to play a whole bunch of freshmen and sophomores.
He's done a pretty good job, you know, revamping the talent identity there, but it hasn't transitioned into wins. Since he's been there, only 4 wins in the Big Ten. 4 wins in the West, in the Big Ten West. We're not talking about Big Ten East. We're playing with Michigan and Ohio State and all those elite power teams. We're talking about in the West. 4-23 when you're in the West, in the Big Ten. That's unacceptable. We're talking about a guy who's coached at the highest level. And just from that alone, you would think that would transition into a win here or there. You know what I mean? So, but if you fire Lovie, where do you go from there?
Yeah, I mean, what do you go? Now, is there anybody we've missed? I don't necessarily buy the idea of Chad Morris at Arkansas.
Not yet.
It's year two, and he's having to rework that entire roster, so I don't necessarily buy into that.
Matt Luke, yeah, not yet for him at Ole Miss. Give him some time. Chip Kelly went 3-9. I wouldn't say yet for him. They're going to give him time because they wanted him. They did a lot to get him back on the sideline at UCLA. Tom Allen. I mean, we've seen a lot of, and there's a lot of Big Ten coaches you can really throw on this list. Tom Allen from Indiana.
Those coaches at the bottom of the Big Ten, they've all struggled.
They
have all struggled. Yeah. They have. We have 2 Game 7s Sunday in the NBA. We'll get to those next. Chris Goforth, Bryant McFadden. Glad to be hanging out with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're giving away $250,000 with Sports Radio 92.9 The Game's National Signing Bonus. Listen every weekday from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. and you could win $1,000.
For details, go to 92.9thegame.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth alongside the Super Bowl champion, Bryant McFadden. Finally get a chance to get around talking a little bit NBA playoffs before we get out of here today. We've got 2 Game 7 set for Sunday and a game tonight, by the way. I don't want to gloss over this. I know we talked about it way back during the 10 o'clock hour, but Warriors-Rockets at 9 p.m. tonight. It's the only game on the slate in the NBA tonight. Golden State, of course, without Kevin Durant. Warriors a 7.5-point underdog to Houston in a Game 6. That's the largest point spread for Golden State with Steph Curry in the lineup and Steve Kerr as the head coach. 440 games going back to the 2014 season. This year, by the way, with Curry Curry in the lineup and when Kevin Durant does not play, Golden State is 26-1. So they'll try to make it 27-1. Tonight against Houston. If the Rockets win, we get three game sevens on Sunday. That will be good.
I mean, basically, that's free basketball. You know, unexpected basketball, if that was to happen. I think the Rockets will win tonight for multiple reasons. Number one, not having KD is going to be a big loss for Golden State. I mean, you're instantly losing a guy who's averaged, 34 points per ball game so far throughout the season, throughout this series. And also, too, not having Durant in the lineup, you have to go deeper in your bench. And I talked about this earlier in the show, the inability from the bench players to be successful outside of Looney and Livingston. You really haven't received any production from the bench. And granted, you were able to weather the storm because KD was carrying the team. Now, game five, we started to see Curry and Klay Thompson wake up. Will they wake up again? They need to be up. They don't need to wake up during the ball game. They need to be up right before tip-off because they can't afford to have a slow start.
Four quarters for those guys.
I agree.
Four quarters. Last night, you had the 76ers knock off the Raptors 112-101. Joel Embiid, he came up big, 5-for-14 from the floor, played some really good defense last night. Game seven, though, is at Toronto. Milwaukee is already locked in.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you rather see the Bucks face, Philly or Toronto? Because I just get the feeling, Bryant, that somewhere in the NBA executive offices, somebody is looking at this matchup in the Eastern Conference Finals of two small market teams and saying, oh, please, no. We don't want Milwaukee and Toronto. We need Philly in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Well, to answer your question, if I was a part of the Milwaukee Bucks organization or if I was a fan, I would rather play against Toronto, and here's why. Outside of Kawhi and Siakam, they really haven't had consistency from other key contributors on that team. Now, Kyle Lowry has shown up here or there. I mean, but he's like a overcast. I mean, one day he might be out and about, and the next day might be sunny. It might be sunny. You don't know. But the two most consistent players have been Siakam and Kawhi, and two players won't beat the Milwaukee Bucks at all. Two players will not beat the Bucks because they're loaded. The bench mob has really been playing pretty good basketball. Now you got Malcolm. He's healthy coming off the bench. We know what Giannis has been able to do. So that would be an easier matchup because I can say this much. When Philadelphia, when they're dialed in, they can play against
– they're good is great.
They can play with anybody.
Now, the flip side of that, Philly's bad can be pretty bad sometimes.
And it's all about the health of – you know, is Embiid sick this ball game or is he healthy? If he's healthy, he's unstoppable, and he gets everybody else going.
You ever seen a guy have the flu three times in a series?
I mean, like I said, I think Embiid lives in a house full of three-year-olds.
Somebody's sneezing on him.
Somebody's always getting him sick. But he is the most important player on that team, and Jimmy Butler has really showed up big time. But Jimmy Butler can get his own without Embiid. I think the other guys, they need Embiid to be relevant for them to be successful, especially Ben Simmons. We saw that last night. But that starting five, and I've been saying this throughout the entire season, especially when they finalized their new roster as far as with the trades, that starting five is the second most talented starting five in the NBA behind Golden State.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, Brian McFadden. We talk NBA playoffs as we come down to at least two game sevens on Sunday and the possibility of having a third. Last night, Portland beat Denver 119-108. Portland got 30-plus points from Lillard and McCollum last night. I talked about this. I guess it was with Harper either yesterday or it might have been on the weekend sometime. This is the series that has been, one, it's been fun to watch, but two, I got no clue. I mean, who in terms of like the other ones, I kind of feel I've got a feeling towards I'm leaning one way. Denver, Portland, I don't know, flip a coin.
Yeah, flip a coin is I feel like the team that will play game seven at home will win, and that's the Denver Nuggets. Denver, you know, when you look at their team aspect, they have a lot of talent. And granted, you know, Portland, they're not full strength. But look at what Joker has been able to do. Murray, Millsap. They got some talented, talented players. They just got to find a way to take that home show on the road. And because of that, they're going into a Game 7 situation. They stole a big-time game, Game 5, Was it game five? They stole game five and game four. They stole game four, came back, took care of the business game five. We saw what happened last night. Now they have a game seven. So I believe the Denver Nuggets will win that ball game.
And then tonight we have Golden State in Houston. Every time during this playoff run, whenever Golden State has needed a basket or they've needed a stop, they've looked to Kevin Durant. KD's not there.
He's not there.
Steph, Clay, Draymond, talked about it a minute ago. Those are the guys that will have to step up. Now, we saw Steph and Clay step up in the fourth quarter when KD went out with the calf strain the other night. He has been, talking about KD, Kevin Durant's been the best player in this playoff.
The best player? I think it could be between KD and Kawhi as the best player, but clearly he's been the best player out west.
Yeah.
He's been the best player out west.
He has been tremendous.
That says a lot because Harden has really been right there. I mean, they're neck and neck. But you lose that production now. And I think what we believe will happen is that Curry will wake up and get back to his MVP caliber production. And Klay Thompson will be a sharpshooter once again, and Draymond will keep doing what Draymond has been able to do. But when this team was together without KD, they had a quality, stable bench. Can't say the same right now. And by the way, don't forget, Chris, this is their second starter they will be playing without because Boogie Cousins went out early in the postseason play.
That's right. And that the depth factor that you mentioned earlier, that is huge for them. If Houston wins tonight and this thing goes back to Golden State for Game 7, I can't see them losing in that atmosphere at home a Game 7. I'm going to pull for Houston tonight because I want to see those three Game 7s on Sunday. I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
Hey. Would love to see that. So make sure you monitor the officials tonight, listeners.
We'll be back. We will wrap it up. We'll get you ready for Rob Tribble and Randy McMichael. They're coming up next. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.